Father God, thank you that you are a God who doesn't keep silent and distant from us, but who you are a God who speaks to us, that you reveal what you are like. And please help us to understand, help us to hear truly, help us to act appropriately in response. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm reluctant to turn on the news. I'm reluctant to flick on the radio and listen to the news bulletin because I know that I'm going to hear something bad. And a lot of time I just don't want to. I know because the world is full of horror stories, isn't it? That we're reminded of. And we live in a world that is lacking peace. Whether it's the next thing that ISIS has done, whether it's some other act of terrorism, Boko Haram or some other group, or some individuals, whether it's just the tumult of different nations striving, competing at tension with each other, whether it's gun violence and mass shootings. We're pretty much guaranteed getting some news story every time we turn on the news that reminds us this world is wanting for peace, isn't it? How does that make you feel? Like, it makes me feel hesitant. I just don't want to hear about it. I know that it's going to make me uncomfortable. How does it make you feel when you hear those things? Is it something you feel just saddened by, the state of the world? Is it something that kind of makes you feel tense as you maybe fear and are scared of what impact that's going to have on your own life, your own future? Or maybe it's something that you respond to with anger, feeling the injustice of it, wanting it to be set right, wanting perpetrators to pay for their actions. Now, whatever it is, they're common, aren't they, those emotions? In one sense, there's a rightness to feeling those things. It's appropriate when we hear these stories. Our world is in a sad place in regards to peace. But let me tell you, this is nothing new. Because this is the standard that we get when humans try and work for peace. We get violence and we get failure to work out problems in a peaceful manner. That's just what we see throughout history. Nation rises against nation. Family against family. Individual against individual. But you know what? What we see on a world level is also paralleled with us on a personal level. We experience the same problems, the same lack of peace, don't we? With individuals, with other people that we're at tension with. We can also experience it in relationship with God. We feel there ought to be peace, but as we strive for it as humans, we can't quite get it. It slips from our grasp. You know what? We even lack peace, not just out there with other people or with God, but we often lack peace in ourselves, in our own mind. We're uneasy. We feel tension within ourselves. And it's not a comfortable place to be, is it? To be lacking peace. Well, as we read through Philippians, we've seen Paul has just, in chapter 3, been contrasting two different ways of living. He's looked at the way of following the world and its desires, pursuing earthly things, and living as enemies of the cross of Christ. There's a lack of peace there, isn't there? He's been describing that and contrasting that from living in a manner that's worthy of the gospel, pursuing knowing Jesus and being like him. And we looked at that last week in a little bit of detail. But as he continues in chapter 4, we see that he keeps describing this Christian life, the life worthy of the gospel, what it looks like. And one of the key things we see in this section is that it's a life characterized by peace. And because of that, there's great joy in that peace. As a life that's at peace with other Christians in those relationships, there's a peace that we have in ourselves. And there's also peace in our relationship with God. And we're going to look at those three in that order as we work through the verses. So first of all, please turn with me to verses 2 and 3, chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. As we see, first of all, that Christians have peace with one another as a result of being together in the Lord. Let's have a look with Paul starts out here with a specific instruction to a couple of women. Verse 2, he says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So he wants them to be one, to be united, to be at peace. And we're not told exactly what the issue is, but there's something that's happened. It's caused them to be at odds. It's caused disunity. It's probably not nothing. It's probably not just kind of like something insignificant. One was saying kind of like blue is better than red or something like that. It's probably not something trivial. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't bother writing about it. We're not told. But we are reminded that Christians have unity in the Lord. We are one in Christ. That's one of the key things in our vision, isn't it? That we saw just earlier. That we are gathered together, united in Jesus. And so Paul, he pleads for them. And he asks, he goes on and says, yes, and I ask you, my true companion, who's never described. We're not sure who the true companion is, if it's someone specific, if it's just a general way of talking about the Philippians altogether. But the instruction is to help these women, since they have contended at my side for the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. These aren't women who are kind of like just floated in from the street having a barney. These are women who have been around for a while. They've been alongside Paul as he was involved in mission there. They've been active in proclaiming the gospel with Paul. And yet something's got between them. And Paul wants them to be at peace. Peace is important for Christians, isn't it? In our relationships. It's important for us to act, to live out peace with one another, because we know that ultimately we both have peace with God. At the deepest level, the thing that's most significant, we're on the same team. We're on the same page. Whatever else is dividing us, that's secondary. Now, when push comes to shove, it's not always easy, is it? We rub each other up the wrong way. Peace doesn't come automatically. We're all different people with different personalities. We're not all going to be best friends. But that's not what it means to be at peace, is it? We can be different and we can understand there's differences. We don't all want to be the same. But we work together and we work hard at our relationships because we know that we're together in Christ. Now, it's a bit like, can you imagine two states in Australia, like, say, New South Wales and Queensland, can you imagine us going to war against each other? I don't just mean, like, state of origin. I mean, like, war for real. Well, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? We're all Australians. We're all together as part of the one country. Wouldn't make sense for us to go to war, state versus state. We have this common identity in being Aussies, in participating together as a nation. That's much more intrinsic to who we are than being a Queenslander or a New South Welshman. Well, that's what it's like as Christians. Now, think about your relationships with other Christians. Who is there that you need to pursue peace with? If Paul was writing the letter to you and was naming your name, who else would there be? I plead with you and to be of the same mind in the Lord? Are there things in your relationship that you know you've done wrong? There's sin that you need to confess, come clean about. Do you need to apologize? Do you need to forgive if wrongs have been done to you? Well, we need to work hard at those things. Are there things that maybe you just need to get over because they're irritating, but they're not really that significant to let you be out of peace with a brother or sister in Christ? And sometimes you might feel like the issues are massive and they're beyond you working out. Come and talk to me. Leaders and shepherds of the flock, that's something that we want to be helping you to work out. Well, it can be hard. It can be difficult to work on those relationships. But it's important. But you know what's can be even harder than working out peace in relationships with other people? Is getting peace in our own mind. Sometimes that's a harder beast to tame, isn't it? Ourself. But that's where Paul goes next. Have a look with me in those next verses, famous verses. We've probably heard enough that they kind of just glance off us now and they've become too familiar. Have a look with me at those words from verse 4 down to verse 7. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In verse 7 there, the peace of God, which I think means peace from God, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As Christians, those who are trusting in Jesus, we have peace from God. God works in us to create peace. Now, it says here, a peace that transcends understanding. And people read that and think transcends. That means it's magical. I don't think that's what it means. It's not meaning magic. I think it means it surpasses our understanding. It's not saying that it's something, it's like way up there and we can't even get anywhere near it in understanding what happens. It's saying that it fills up all our understanding and more. It extends past what we can understand. But we can understand some things about it. Some things that Paul sets out here, that it guards our hearts and minds. It's not just a kind of intellectual thing, but it's a thing that guards our emotions as well, our whole self, and the way that those things integrate together. And one of the key things that it's tied to, Paul says, is prayer in verse 6. So he says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be lacking peace, getting tied up, getting worried. Don't be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Paul points us to prayer as an important tool in combating anxiousness. Why? Why is prayer so important and key to us experiencing this peace from God that calms us, that helps us to be at peace? Well, prayer expresses our dependence on the one who is all-powerful, the one who's all in control, the one who's able to solve whatever problem that we're worried about, the one who's got it all planned out and is working out things for the good of those who love him. Our prayer expresses dependence on him by saying, God, I trust you with this issue. That's the first part why it's important. Also, notice Paul, it's not just about asking, but this prayer is important to be doing with thanksgiving. Because when we give thanks, What do? We remember the way that God has acted faithfully in the past, the things he's already done, the way he's already used his power and control to bring about good. We look back to his hand over every situation. Our prayer is the enemy of anxiety. It points us as a practice to that reality, that we trust in God. And through that, God works and gives us peace. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I certainly have. I can testify. The times when I've been most anxious, the times when I've been most worried about something, the times when I've been awake at night, not being able to sleep over things, when I finally remember to pray, it always takes me a while to... when I finally remember to pray, and I remember what God is like, that he is powerful, that he is wise, and that he's loving, and I'm trusting the situation to him, is always a great help, helping me be at peace. My friends, prayer is the enemy of anxiety. I just want to quickly mention as an aside, some people suffer from anxiety disorders. It's a real and significant medical condition. We don't just want to kind of like skip over lightly. It's not what Paul is talking about here, I don't think. I'm not suggesting that people that suffer from anxiety disorders, we should just tell them, just pray. Just pray about it. Like, disregard medical advice. Just pray. Because there is great wisdom that God has caused to be learned through doctors and through counselors and psychologists and all those other things. That's really helpful for dealing with situations like that. And that's really important as we try and walk in those situations and we should try and help brothers and sisters with anxiety disorders walking through those situations. It's really unhelpful to say just pray about it and if you pray about it, it'll all be good. But that's not to say that we just say, just do the opposite. Just go and talk to the doctor and that'll all be good. Because as Christians, we know that key to dealing with anxiety is prayer. Prayerfully exercising our dependence on God. And we don't want to say it's the only answer, all you need to do, but we do want to say it is a critical thing of importance to do. So please be mindful of that as we try and love our brothers and sisters who suffer from anxiety. Our friends, we're feeling anxious, we're feeling uptight, we're feeling lack of peace in ourselves. God provides peace that guards our hearts and our minds. And we pray as a way of expressing our trust in that. We remember in thanksgiving what God has done. And most particularly, we want to remember what God has done for us in Jesus, don't we? We remember what he is like. We remember what he has done for us. Remember that he has won for us peace, not just so we can feel better in ourselves, but he's won for us peace in that ultimate relationship we have with God. The one that we need, where we need peace the most. My friends, that's what Paul points us to in verses 8 and 9, isn't it? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. See, Christian life in general, and particularly in this context of peace, it's a bit like you are what you eat or you are what you think about. Now, the more we consume of one way of thinking, one way of believing, one way of looking at the world, the more it wears off on us. The more we feed our mind with worrying things, the more we feed our mind with the kind of the lies the world tells us, that God isn't good, He won't look after you, He's not really in control, He doesn't really have a plan, He didn't see this coming, those kind of things, the more we listen to them, the more they infiltrate our mind and they subtly worm their way in, and we find ourselves wanting to believe them. It's so easy to take on the attitudes and thoughts and emotions of the world that we surround ourselves with. So Paul, he says here, be careful. Watch out for what's going in. Feed your thoughts with the right stuff. Focus on good. It doesn't mean we ignore everything else, but it means we choose to dwell on and to meditate on it, and to celebrate and orient ourselves towards truth and what's noble and what is right and pure and whatever is lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. And we look at those things, don't we? There's plenty of things in the world around us that remind us of those good things. You know, I love to see the great things that people create and the ingenuity that goes into creating technology. Some of it's amazing, isn't it? I love to see the beauty of artwork and the way that something that seems abstract or maybe is kind of an impressionistic painting of something is able to convey strong emotions or convey a message without clearly articulating it in words. And I love to see the way that people love each other and care about each other in even in costly ways. Are there things that give me great encouragement? Paul says, remember these things. These good things. But as Christians, as we do this, as we see the good in the world around us, the good's got to remind us of the best, doesn't it? And as we think about what's good, we think about what's noble and pure, we've got to be pointed back to the best, the most excellent, the most worthy of praise. As we look at the wonderful creations of man, we're reminded not just of what we can create, but we're reminded of the one who created everything from nothing, including people who are able to create such wonderful things. As we see awesome artwork that conveys messages to us and conveys emotion, we're reminded of the one who perfectly reveals God the Father. And as we see people acting out of love, sacrificial love for each other, we're reminded of the one who gave up heaven to take our form as man, to live amongst us, to be humiliated through death on a cross, to bear God's anger for sin in our place, the one who sacrificed himself for us. So when we think about the good, we always got to come back to the best. As we remember Jesus Christ, the one who worked to bring us into a peaceful relationship with God. We remember the God of peace. The God of peace who will be with you because that relationship is restored. And Jesus is called the Prince of Peace in the Old Testament, prophesying about him, the Prince of Peace. Christians can be at peace with God because of Jesus and what he's done. Friends, this is the good news that we have as Christians, the good news of the Bible. How often do you think of that when you're anxious? Do you come back to the gospel? Because that's the heart of who God is. That's where we see it most clearly. We see his plan, his wisdom put into action. But we see his power and control constrained for our sake. And we see his love enacted in sacrifice. Friends, when you are anxious, remember the peace that we have with God through Jesus. The Lord is with us. And friends, the Lord is with us in a temporal sense as his Spirit dwells with us. But as it says in verse 5, the Lord is near. He's also near in a sense of time. Jesus is coming back. He is returning. His plan has an end date where it's all heading towards. He is the ultimate human approach to world peace. The ultimate human. And he is our hope for peace in ourselves, in our relationships with other Christians, with God, and also for the world. We know that one day peace will reign as his rule brings peace to the nations. Now, friends, that's our certain hope to look forward to as we face news that maybe makes us feel worried, makes us feel anxious, makes us feel angry. We have a sure hope the Prince of Peace is coming. Friends, let me pray for us that we would live lives marked with Christian peace and that we would experience joy in that. My great God, we thank you that you are the God of peace, that you have worked through your Son to bring us to peace with you, that you work your peace in us, especially as we trust in you and express that in prayer. And because of the peace that we have with you, we thank you that we can be at peace with one another. Our Father, please help us to live out this peace, to experience it in ourselves and with each other. Our Father, may we as Tom's Night Church be known as a people of peace. May that be a sign to those who are lost, those who are perishing, an attractive sign they greatly desire, a sign that points them to Jesus. Our Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen.